Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. I love a good cup of coffee, especially these past couple days with Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and here we are worshiping on the 26th. It is the first thing that many of us do in the morning. We make coffee. And depending on how much time I have, depends on how I make it. If I'm feeling rushed, I will go for the Keurig pods. It's fast, it tastes good enough, and my longing for caffeine usually outweighs any guilt attached to the waste of the pods, unfortunately. But if I have time, and hopefully next week on vacation I do, I like to take my special stash of coffee beans. I like to grind them up so that they are fresh and I can smell that in the air, and I put them in the French press. I pour a little hot water over those grounds and I wait exactly 1 minute. And when that's done, I pour the rest of the water in and I wait another 4 minutes. And I'm so particular about the waiting, the time, that I still take out my phone and a little buzzer goes off to make sure it's exactly that time. The great thing about the French press is you can determine how long you keep it brewed, depending on how strong you want your coffee. And for me, 5 minutes creates the perfect cup of coffee that I'm eager to drink and to share with others. You may be wondering why this morning's scripture is the Christmas story again. Same exact words that were read on Christmas Eve and that we've been singing about. You see, we tend to rush this time of year, and because of that, we grab the grab-and-go Christmas story, the Keurig pod story, instead of taking our time and making rich meaning. We are ready for New Year's. We are ready to put this celebration behind us, even though there are how many days in Christmas? 12, right? There's a song that goes like that. We are left not with coffee, but really hot water, longing for a darker tasting brew. And so this morning, I invite you to savor the story and let it brew within you so that you can enjoy it, give thanks for it, sense its nourishment, and share it with others. You may have noticed, as you read your Bible, that the Gospel of Luke often names those in political power. Perhaps he is helping us, future generations, date the time in which things took place, but more times than not, biblical scholars believe it is their way of comparing the earthly rulers, their reign on earth, with the reign of God. So as Emperor Augustus and Governor Cornelius have power, privilege, and prestige, Luke points the camera eastward to a family, a husband and his pregnant wife, both of whom are lower caste, a lower class citizen of their society. They are being forced to walk 85 miles at the direction of those earthly rulers to be counted for tax purposes, taxes that they had a difficult time paying. They arrive safe, yet tired, and there's no place for them. There was no place in the inn, and the people who saw them did not invite them into their homes. And so with the animals is where they stayed. After the baby was born, he was placed in a manger, a feeding trough for cattle. This seems appropriate. The one who will one day feed 5,000 people. The one that will break bread with his disciples. The one that will tell people to feed the hungry is appropriately located in the place where food and nourishment is made available to the entire stable. As the earthly rulers with power, privilege, and prestige live in excess, here is Jesus surrounded by his mother and one of his fathers. And in this moment, we see revealed a God who chooses humility, vulnerability, I dare say dependency. Completely helpless, Jesus lies there, relying on his mother's breast milk, just like each one of us did when we were born. So let's point the camera a little bit more, and let's brew in the story a little bit more, because at that time, we turn to the shepherds, who were living in fields, watching over their flock by night, as it goes. Now, Luke could not have picked a more rugged, unlikely group of people in first century Palestine. Shepherds were considered and regarded as liars and thieves who were regularly smelly and unclean. There was a stigma around the type of person who were shepherds, that they were forbidden to testify in court. They had no credibility. Their testimony or eyewitness reporting was assumed to be flawed. Yet God does not view them through the biases of society and sees them as valid and valued. In fact, Luke spends more time on the shepherds than on Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. The shepherds, who are usually last and forgotten or despised, find themselves surrounded by angels, the divine messengers, and are actually the first to receive the good news of Christ's birth. Like the women at the tomb on Easter, the shepherds receive the good news before anyone else, even those with power and privilege and prestige. And their fear of those heavenly angels is transformed into excitement as they make haste to see this child, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, whom they are told will be wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. There they will find the Prince of Peace, the one who will establish the reign of God in the kingdom of the earth rightly. You see, in the Christmas story, God reveals God's agenda that invites those who are often not invited or who are completely forgotten. They are the ones surrounded by the heavenly choruses of angels, and God also reveals God's self through Jesus, a newborn baby, dependent and helpless, who needs constant love and care. When we wait and let this story permeate, we can see that through Jesus, God becomes with us in a very particular way. Not among those with power, but among those who are marginalized. Not among the privileged, but those who are disenfranchised. Not in the halls of prestige, but in humble dwellings. So where would Jesus be born today? Compared to the agenda of the president or our governor, how does the reign of God or God's agenda look different? And who would be invited to the manger scene? What neighborhood or people would the angels surround and make the honored guests today? Just as the child tax credit, which has kept 3 million children out of poverty, is threatened by those in power to end, At a time when migrants and refugees are still forcibly separated at our southern border by the empire we live in, at a time when the most vulnerable are denied access to resources and medicine they need, the Christmas story is the star that shows us the way to where Christ is born these days. And so what do we do with this news that we have received from shepherds 2,000 years later? Well, Mary will treasure all the words spoken that day. The shepherds will make known all that they saw to anyone who will listen. So in the remaining 10 days of Christmas, treasure the story. Let it brew in your lives. Let it be the lens by which you watch the news or the way you make sense of our community. Imagine this story playing out today. And treasure God's love made known for you as God becomes human just like us. Second is this. This news is good. Share it. Live it. Declare the beginning of God's kingdom through the actions of the angels, welcoming those who are excluded. The wise men, seeing the divine spark in foreign babies. Joseph, defying gender roles of his society. And Mary, who nurtures the Christ child. Let it brew and permeate. Amen. Amen.